Talk Shoes.
Recorded live.
You're listening to the Geocaching Podcast, a podcast about everything geocaching, where you'll hear tips and tricks, interviews with cachers, and lots more. Welcome to episode 76 of the Geocaching Podcast, New Things. I'm your host, XFunkX, with
Mom2Rider
and Daryl W4.
If you want to participate in our show today, we'd love to have you. Please call our line at 724-444-7444, and our TalkCast ID is 7525. You can also join our live chat room to participate with our other listeners, and that's a lot of fun because we've got some awesome listeners, and that can be found at www.geocachingpodcast.info. Then just click the Join Now to Participate button on the right. If ever during the week you feel like giving us a call, our voicemail number is 206-350-3GPS. And yes, again, we are on Twitter, twitter.com/GCPodcast. Well, I want to welcome everybody back to our show today. Monty, seems like you've had a, from what I've seen in your Twitter and email, you've had a busy weekend. How was that?
Oh, no kidding. We did have a very busy weekend this past weekend. Saturday was Founders Day for the city of Newport Richey, and they had invited the train club that I participate with to set up a display, and I was on that from 7:30 in the morning until almost 5 that evening. We had about 200 feet of track set up. You can view the photos for anybody that wants to just by following the link in the show notes or the live chat to Flickr. Sunday was my niece's birthday, so we were at my sister's house almost the all day for that. So unfortunately, no caching. Good news is, though, the temps are starting to drop around here. So this next weekend, we're going camping with the youth group. So after that, I should be back out on the trails and at least any of the trails that aren't closed by the controlled burns. First bit of caching we're going to do, though, unfortunately, is going to be some maintenance runs because we've gotten some logs that stayed a couple of our containers are a little bit on the toasty, crispy side, so to speak. Daryl, how about you?
Well, it looks like you guys did have some fun. I checked out those photos this weekend, and boy, I kind of wish I were there. But we were having our fall 2008 Coffee, Coins, and Sigs event, a little bit lighter turnout than usual, and that's GC1EYPV for anyone that wants to look that up. But the lighter crowd actually made it a lot more fun, in my opinion, because you had a lot more time to get with the other cachers and chit-chat and, you know, just in general have some fun. And we had the Micromania game that I had talked about before, where we snapped photos of something near the hidden 35mm film can, and you have to go and search for it. And this time we did it on the grounds, the first time we did it inside. And it went over really well again. It's a lot of fun. Some of them were pretty challenging, some of them were really, really easy, and it was just a blast all the way around, both on my part setting it up and everyone hunting it, so I was very happy to do that one again. How about you, Andy? What did you do this weekend?
Well, we went down and hung out with my parents. They live in central Indiana. Saturday, we went caching. We found 7 caches, and we had a DNF to... you know, I'm sad to say DNF to you, but the ones we DNF'd were ones that the last, like, 3 or 4 logs had been DNF'd also. So I didn't feel too bad because I didn't think that they were there anyways, but we wanted to go out and check. And we had a lot of fun. We learned a lot of new history and stuff like that, which is what we love about caching anyways. So we got, like I said, we added 7 caches to our numbers. And I got to use the power notes by Bishop, and that went really well. It was made logging super easy, since I was logging for 3 different users, myself and my 2 sons, and my dad was also logging for him and my mom. So that worked out really well. Sunday, they live on this little pond thing, and we went out and caught some fish. I caught a bass and a couple bluegills, and my wife caught 2 bass, so she actually outfished me, and that was fun. We ended up eating those for supper, and again, those are awesome. So really, we had a good weekend. It was nice and relaxing. The kids had a fun time with Grandpa and Grandma. And, yeah, we had a lot of fun. So that was our weekend. Well, tonight we are going to be talking about new things, and I know that's really broad. There's different things that you, new things that you can do with geocaching. Well, I don't want to say new things, but new news, new, I don't know. Just Daryl, our first topic tonight, can you tell us about that?
Yeah, well, first we're going to talk about the new iPhone and iPod Touch application that Groundspeak is going to be releasing. They announced on Friday that they have submitted it to the Apple Store with a purchase price of $9.99. The program does require a live connection to the internet, though, either through GSM or a Wi-Fi network. So it's not going to allow offline caching for the folks who need their touch with them. If you do have a iPhone 3G, though, it does have the navigation right to the cache. So it's nice to use it, but everyone who has the iPhone or iPod Touch with a live connection can do searching, complete cache information, and all that good stuff. Jeremy's post is available if anyone wants to check that out. But the application joins the quickly expanding field of programs already available for the iPhones, and that includes the Geocaching Toolkit IGCT, Geo4Lite, iGeocacher, SeekCache, and GeoFinder. Plus, as many people might recall, last week we were talking with the guys who make Power Notes, and they're working on one as well that is going to be offline. Montu.
Well, Daryl, I want to point this out too, that before we move on too, is that I don't know. I've heard many different things as far as the GPS goes with the iPhone 3G. Some people say it's awesome. Like Sonny said that on this week's podcaster that they were dead on. But I've also heard some people that they couldn't, you know, get within 100 feet of a geocache because it just is that off. So it'll be interesting to see what the majority of the people end up finding out with if their GPS in the iPhone 3G is going to be worth it and help them with the geocaching. And again, are you going to be able to geocache and find out the information if you're in the middle of some desert or a forest? You won't have the 3G connection.
Right, right. Well, it does work off the edge connection at least. But on the GPS front, yeah, I've heard that there's some radical differences in the performance between units. And from what I've been hearing, it really seems to be hit and miss. And some units are excellent. Some have had some GPS problems. A lot of the problems, though, from what I understand, have been solved with the 2.1 firmware upgrade. So if you guys have a GPS or an iPhone 3G, rather, you might want to check out the 2.1 upgrade, because that does improve performance on the AT&T network for voice data, and it also improves the GPS performance from what I've been told.
All right, Montu, what else do we have in our news section?
Well, we have another very important reminder that we need to be paying attention to our surroundings, not just following that little arrow that's pointing us the way to go. This one comes from New York. Monday night, Jose Silva followed the directions of his Magellan GPS a little too closely and turned onto an active rail line in Bedford Hills, New York. This is the same location that another man made the same mistake in January. The drivers escaped in both cases without injury, thank goodness, but it does serve as a reminder that we need to pay attention when using our GPS receivers. More information is available via lohud.com. Andy, back to you.
Well, this brings us to another new thing. We had talked about the news of the Groundspeak iPhone application, but the next thing that I noticed, and this is actually, I was just playing around with the new coord.info and with the ability to use the short names for the geo, you know, where you coord.info/ and the GC number, and that will actually link right to the geocaching.com page. I had noticed at the bottom that there's a little bit of, that there is a link to what they called text marks, and I thought this is interesting. It'll be interesting to see. This is more of, an application or a development for those of us who don't have an iPhone but who carry a cell phone with SMS. And this is what it basically is. is an SMS-based system, and you send all your text to 41411 with the prefix code of GEOC for geocaching postings and to log geocaches. And you're just going to, when it comes right back, you're going to say reply Y to subscribe to this text or ignore that right that comes back since it's related to the textmarks.com website. And that's unrelated to the geocaching groundspeak functionality. And again, this is a free service. And so, but SMS texting fees may be applied because your cell phone, depending on if you have subscription for free text messages or not. So be aware of that. You may get charged a lot because of your text messages. But and also, you will get some Textmarks advertisements because it's not a Groundspeak service, but Groundspeak provides the information to them. So really, what's the cool thing about Textmarks is, like I said, you can send a message, an SMS message to GEOC, and that's to 41411. And the response should give you a device identifier that you can link to your geocaching.com account, just like you would if you were using the Geocache Navigator. You go to the geocaching.com, and if you don't have an account, you're going to create one, visit your My Account page, and access the field notes on the right-hand side of the page. You'll click the link to Trimble's Geocache Navigator to your account. Don't let this fool you just because it says Trimble's Geocache Navigator account. It's just a general-purpose link that works with SMS, too. So, and then you're going to enter that device identifier that you received in your SMS message and the PIN provided to you to link to your account. And that's it. Any future SMS messages will work with your Groundspeak account on geocaching. So what else can we do with it? Daryl, can you teach us how to look up a cache on geocaching with the text marks?
Sure. Once it's already set up, you just can go into your phone, text GEOC space question mark and the GC code, no quotes, to 41411. And there's a upper text limitation, so you might not get a whole lot of text back. SMS is limited to, I believe it's 140 characters. But if you want the hint, instead of putting the question mark in, you'll put an exclamation mark. So it's GEOC space exclamation and the GC code. And again, that's to 41411. Montu, how do we log caches?
Well, logging caches with field notes. The field notes are a way to log a cache without posting a log on the cache listing. This allows you to log your find out in the field without posting it to the cache listing page immediately. It also allows you to provide additional details in the comfort of your own home. The difference between field notes and cache logs also means you can notify people that you are caching while you are out in the field. It's a fun way to share your experience with others who are also geocaching at the same time. More social features for field notes will be added in the near future. Andy?
Well, so going back to the how to log a cache, what you're going to do is you're going to send the SMS message GEOC at the at sign, the geocode, and then some text, whatever you want to, however you want to log it. And you'll obviously replace the geocode text with the code of the geocache, and then any other text to add to the notes. This will be treated as a log, as a found log. And Daryl, you had mentioned that there's not much, text will get back because there's an upper limit of 140 characters. Those of us who use Twitter are starting to really get used to the 140 characters. I think I'm starting to think in 140 characters.
Yeah, that is definitely one of the hazards. But if you want to post a DNF log, it's pretty much the same thing. You still send the SMS message to that 41411, and you do GEOC space the letter X, the GC code, and then whatever you want to log with your did not find log. So that one will get posted in the same way. Now, speaking of Twitter, though, Montu, I understand that there's a way to talk to Twitter with this.
Yes, there is available functionality to link field notes with the Twitter over SMS. Click on the sharing page on geocaching.com to link your Twitter account with your geocaching.com account. If you have linked text marks with your account and check the box on the Twitter setup page, you'll send Yeah. You'll send an update to Twitter whenever you log a find over the SMS.
Now, I couldn't find the actual sharing page on geocaching.com when I did this. There is a link that they provide for you. It's not like you can't go to geocaching.com, and I couldn't find the link from their homepage. But on the core.info, you can find the link to that, and we'll go ahead and post that in our show notes too. So I'm actually looking forward to having the more Twitter functionality with geocaching.com anyways. I'd like to see whenever I log a cache that it updates my Twitter, no matter where I log it from. But hopefully that's in the future. There are some special Twitter geocache logs that you can do with this text mark system. You know, sometimes it's good to send a notice that you're going to be heading out to or from a cache, your friends know where you're going to be at, especially if you're heading to those far-off ones. So what you do is send the SMS message again to 41411, and it's going to have the text will be GEOC greater than the GC code, and that's that you're heading to it, the geocache. If you want to say that you're leaving from there, you're going to do just the opposite. Send the same text message to the same number, and it's going to be GEOC less than geocode, and that'll send that you're leaving the cache, so it can kind of let people know where you're going to be at. Daryl, what about Waymark?
One of those handy little safety features.
It is. So what about waymarking? Does it work too for waymarking?
Well, there's an experimental feature with text marks to support waymarking. And what they're having you do right now is just like geocaching, you text GEOC space and then the at symbol with the waymarking code. And that will update Twitter that you're at a certain waymark with the link to the waymark webpage, or using the greater than and less than symbol instead of the at symbol gives you the heading to and leaving messages for the waymarks. Now, this feature only works with Twitter, though, and doesn't have a way yet to record to the waymarking.com website. Now, Montu, I understand that you can use this whole thing with Facebook as well.
That's correct. You can use the Twitter with Facebook. The nice thing of linking up with Twitter is there are additional tools to hook up your tweets with your Facebook. Search for the Twitter application on Facebook and link that with your Twitter account as well.
Well, that's it for our show today as far as the new things go. If you want to give us a call quickly here before we close the phone lines and close the show for tonight, again, our number is 724-444-7444, and our TalkCast ID is 7525. We'd love to hear from you and hear what you've been up to, if you have any other new software, new things that you've heard of, or anything. We'd love to talk to you guys. Let us know what's going on in your world. And again, before we close, I want to mention, the Twitter thing, I would love to see that happen. When I log a cache, no matter where it's at, and maybe even from the Field Notes app from Bishop, that would be pretty cool too. Because especially on a device like the Windows mobile phone or the iPod Touch or iPhone where you have a live connection, it'd be awesome to be able to do those same things from there, and it can be done fairly easy. So, Daryl, Montu, anything you have to put in before we close the show here?
Well, kind of on that Twitter thread, that Dash GPS, if you guys haven't checked that one out, does support automatic updates of where you are, where you're going, as I recall, to let your friends know that you're en route to some restaurant or whatever and meet you there, that kind of stuff. So that's a pretty cool feature of the Dash units. And for anyone who doesn't know, that is a automotive nav system that's, I believe, using the AT&T network again. And that gives you the live traffic updates from other Dash users. So the more Dash GPSs you have in the area, the more accurate your drive times are. And we'll actually start rerouting based on the live traffic data. So that's Nice unit, still very experimental, but definitely worth checking out if you're looking to get a auto nav system.
Well, that's it, guys, for the show today. Join us each Tuesday, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time on the TalkShoe service. You can call in live and talk with us. Our number is 724-444-7444, and our TalkCast ID is 7525, or you can go ahead and just go to TalkShoe.com and sign in there. Our show notes and links to all of our past show notes, all of our past shows can be found at geocachingpodcast.info. And you can give us a call for our voicemail, 206-350-3GPS, anytime, and leave us a voicemail. We'd love to hear from our listeners, and you'll probably be on our show. So have a great week, guys, and we'll see you guys next week, 9:30. Have a great week.